Thank you, Lord, I delight in you now. Thank you, Lord, you magnify your word above all your name. In your love I am secure, for I know you are faithful. I am looking unto Jesus, where my help comes from, and I will bless your holy name forevermore. Hallelujah.
We worship you, Lord.
I will bless your name forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Sing it out. Thank you, Lord, the enemy's defeated. Thank you, Lord, the victory is won. Lord, your promise sure, in your love I am secure. so faithful. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful, Lord, so faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful.
Of forgetting that which is behind. Either we've got a few people that are out sick, or there's a few people that forgot to come to church, but nevertheless, we got enough here to continue on. And I know there are key people in our congregation, both here. Make sure that Patrick and Christina get last week and this week especially, and we'll see where we go, because they're in Europe on vacation. Boy, I'm kind of jealous. They were going where now? London and Paris. So, and they left Paris here. Went to London and Paris and left Paris here. So at any rate, praise God. Without further ado, let's go ahead and look one more time at our key scripture, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. As this year takes off, 2018, I know last week, we had a handful of visitors, and you could see that this was a not-so-comfortable subject. And that's a sad thing, because so often when we talk about forgetting, the devil takes, no matter how hard you try. How many know this is a valid and necessary theme for every believer? And yet, primarily because of the church, an error being taught in the church, anytime you talk about forgetting, it is a very difficult thing to keep minds in a congregation, large or small, from going to the past. Just the mere mention of the past takes people. You could watch. I just wanted to snap my fingers, praying under my breath as I was laying out the sermon, because you could see those that with the mere mention of forget, the devil wants to take you through an entire service where deliverance is being preached through the Word of God. How many know deliverance doesn't come from Lee, but it comes by faith in the Word of God? Great and exceeding, Paul said, great and exceeding precious promises that in Him are yes and amen. How many are glad for the Word of God? Three of you. How many are glad for the Word of God this morning? How many find that the Word of God is changing you? Say with me, make this confession, the Word of God. Come on, I need all of you helping me out here. The Word of God is working mightily on the inside of me. My faith is increasing. Revelation knowledge is broadening. I lost you about two sentences ago. We're going to try this again. I'm speaking English and I'm going slow, so we're going to start over again. Everybody, I want you to make a profession of faith over yourself out loud. Let your neighbor hear you. The Word of God, come on, is working mightily on the inside of me. Woo, that's good news. Are you here? It's broadening revelation. That's not hard. Broadening is an easy word. Say it out loud. It's broadening revelation on the inside of me. It's increasing. I lost a few of you. That's not a hard word. It's increasing faith in my life. Therefore, I am more than a conqueror because of his great love for me before I ever knew anything about him. Woo! That's good news. Come on. You believe that? His word is powerful and faithful. And listen, I know there's so much emphasis on what you got to do in the church. Good churches, little churches, big churches. What you need to do to get your life right so that God will bless you more, pay attention to you more. Come on, are we here today? This is what we hear all the time. It's inferred. If it's not said outright, it is absolutely inferred. And the good news of the gospel that offends the masses is there's not one diddly thing you can do to make a change in his love for you. The one thing you got to do is dare to believe it. What did the thief on the cross have to offer? What did Rahab, a prostitute, modern English, a whore, have to offer? You know, she's listed in the Hall of Faith. The lineage of your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, on the basis of what she believed. She refused to let her past define who she was. Like all of us, she would face, we don't know what her life continued to be. We know that she's mentioned by the Spirit of God in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith as one who had faith, saving faith. Are you here today? And her faith led her to do some things that were wildly in contrast with anybody in her culture and time. Because she said, I've heard of your God, and I've heard the things that he's done, and I believe him. And what offends the religious is belief. Heart faith is enough. But doesn't it say that the angels believe in her? Yes, they believe in God. We're not talking about believing in God in an ambiguous, broad, like the world. We're talking about a specific belief that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, that's Bible, people, would not perish, but have. How many possess this morning because of your confession of faith, eternal life, already living on the inside of you? We need an altar call. How many in here have received Jesus? Woo! Have confessed unto eternal life and have that possession on the inside of you. John said it this way, we have eternal life. If you don't, man, you don't need to shake a preacher's hand. You don't need to sign a card. You don't need to change anything. He'll help you change what needs to be changed. All you got to do is dare to believe. See, when you get to talking about the past, religion has done such a good job of putting you in your place. You deserve to be where you're at. Duh. So how does that help me? You deserve. You're getting your comeuppance. Duh. All have sinned and fallen short, Paul said in Romans. Absolutely. The beauty is what I deserve. There was a divine exchange. Can everybody in here say divine exchange? 2 Corinthians 5:21 states this. He who knew no sin. The perfect, now I'm adding, I'm paraphrasing so you understand what it's saying. He knew no sin means the perfect, pure, righteous Lamb of God. Revelation declares, slain for your and my failure. from the foundation of the world. John the Baptist, who declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." That's the one we're talking about that says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us." What, for what purpose? That you and I would become, by faith in Him, the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How many put your faith in Jesus this morning? Shout out loud with me, "I am the righteousness of God." The devil right now is screaming at some of you, "You're a failure. You blew it this week. You did some things. There is no way. That is crazy. It's not what you do. It's what you believe. What you believe will lead you out of your doing and lead you into a whole new place of doing. But believing comes first." D.L. Moody put it this way, and you've heard me say it 1,000 times. Right believing will produce right living. Right living will never produce right living. Your right doing will just keep you in a cycle of defeat. There is none that can keep the law. That's why we need a Savior. Are you here today? I'm really glad for Jesus. Now, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3, and I want to pick up where we're at. How many are glad for Jesus today? There we go. I like that. Maybe I just need to turn my back more often. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but I want to kind of pick up, refresh a little bit, pick up where we left off last week, and then I've got some thoughts I want to share with you and some additional scriptures. Paul, I want you to think about who Paul, we'll reference this again later, but I want you to think about who Paul was outside of Christ. For starters, let's just get the big one out of the way. He was a murderer. Can you absorb that? Can you step out of your religious Sunday morning church rose-colored glasses and realize that the guy that wrote most, over half of what we consider our New Testament, was a murderer, a persecutor of the righteous. Say, God can turn anybody around. Maybe even me. There's a reason why Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 3 in Philippians, "I have no confidence in the flesh." No confidence in my own thinking and how I feel and whatever. I've got a new truth. It's called righteousness that is by faith. If you read through that chapter, beautiful. And he gets down to verse 12 and he says, "Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect." How many perfect people we got here this morning? Perfect on the inside. Trick question. Somebody raise their hand. I love it because they're seeing what I'm talking about. On the inside. Paul's getting ready to say that. But he's saying, after the flesh, and having reached and understood all this, he said, "I'm not perfect in that regard. But His perfection has reached me. I haven't quite got a hold of this grace of God, but grace has got a hold on me," one translation says. "Not as though I already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." In other words, that I may receive right now, walk in the victory that is already mine on the inside. Walk in that righteousness that is already mine. Walk out that perfection that is already alive and on the inside of me. How many know that's most of what our Christian life is all about? All right? So, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Can you everybody say that in here with me this morning? This one thing. This is one thing that I must do. This is one thing I do. This is Paul talking. This is okay. All right? "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. Everybody say, press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high, you hear this? Calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to say this out loud, and I want your ears to hear your voice say, I have a high calling. I have a higher calling. Oh, yeah. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be, my sister and others that raise their hand when I ask you how many perfect people we got in here. Paul now seems to be double talking because now he's addressing them and a reference to him by the very nature of his conversation as perfect. He's saying, there's something perfected in me. I haven't got quite it got perfected out here. I don't quite have a hold of it out here. I'm growing in this thing. How many in here understand that out here, we're still learning some things? Do you ever blow it? Do you ever miss it? Do you ever experience failure? But Paul is saying perfection has come to live on the inside of me. And he says, as many of you that be perfect, in other words, you're in faith righteousness, in Jesus by faith, let this kind of thinking get a hold. What kind of thinking? Forget the past. Embrace the perfect you in Jesus on the inside and let perfection be worked out in your life. He says, I'm not there yet, but it's got me. I may not have a revelation of who I am in Him, but He has all the revelation of who I am in Him. And I can trust Him with my future, let alone my past. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good already. 10 minutes in. All right? Now turn with me to Hebrews. And I want to just hit this thing called forgetting. It breaks my heart that I see that a few that were working so hard, you could see it. I don't normally pay attention to what's going on in a congregation, but those that were struggling, you get in too close, people evaporate. But how many know we got an obligation to preach the gospel? How many embrace the gospel this morning? The fact that the truth of Jesus will set you free. Hebrews 11. Excuse me, not 11, Hebrews 12. Forgive me. Hebrews 12. Very well-known scripture. I'm reading it in the King James. You probably have a little clearer translation. I love the King James. I've been reading it all my life. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. What are we talking about? Maybe we've heard this preached that everybody in heaven's looking on and they're watching the race. No, we just got through talking about Hebrews 11. The people in Hebrews 11, he's saying, in this thought of faith, we're surrounded with great examples, witnesses of this thing, and yet they believed and nothing happened. All right? Now, is the other possible? Possible? Could it be true? It's possible. Can you preach it adamantly? No. This is talking about context. Those in Hebrews 11. He's referencing. He said, wherefore, seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want you to notice the posture of the one in the race. It's forward. Forward. Higher. Glory to glory. Forward. Moving forward. How do we do that? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. How do we do that? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. the author and the finisher of our faith. What did we read last week out of this same book? He who began. How many are believing that this week? He who began a good work. Say it with me out loud. Let your ears hear your mouth declare out loud to the devil, to the world. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yes.
He who began a good work. I can hear about half of you. Let's start again. He who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it. Hebrews 12, verse 2. How do we do this? Looking unto Jesus. Looking forward. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Come on, the author and the finisher of your faith. Aren't you glad it's not all just up to you? Religion has fought hard to make sure that you know if you failed, trust God, tie a note. If you're just hanging on, tie not the end of the rope and hang on till Jesus comes back. So many people are living that way. I got news for you. He can come back anytime he wants. I also got news for you. You're hearing every other opinion out there. I'll just go ahead and give you mine. You got 90% of the guys on TV telling you Jesus is coming back this year, next year, at least within the first five. They've been saying that since I was this tall. I got news for you. It is very unlikely that he will return in any of y'all's lifetime. So quit acting and behaving like that. Plant seed. Plant for the future. Do what God has called you to do. Make a difference in your world. Breathe hope into your children and your grandchildren. Plan forever. Not this pacifist, sissy Christian attitude which says, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. It may have happened to every culture and every time in the frame of the world as we know it in history, but now that it's happened to America, we Americans can't handle it. Get us out of here. That's bad theology. And even if it is true, we should live every day as if we've got at least another 100 years to do what he's called us to do. You know what the Bible says? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is what your word says. The steadfast love of the Lord. It's never failing. The Old Testament prophet said, his mercies never come to an end. They're new. The old song says, speaking of these scriptures, every day. Even if you don't feel like it. Make another. We're full of confessions this morning, aren't we? Because this is how we overcome the past. Are you here today? I forgot what the confession was. So we'll move forward. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can everybody in here say, forgetting those things which are behind? I want to just go through my notes. Hit you with a few things. I'm going to try to move slow enough that if you're a writer, I pray that you're at least writing down the scriptures. And let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. There are a few of you in here that are embarking on new businesses. You really need the heads up. I believe God has called you. Are you here this morning? I don't care what anybody thinks, how mad you get mad at me. He's called you to gain wealth. Not to heap it to yourself, not to do it after the world's system, but God is the one who said, if you'll trust me as your provider, I'll see to it. Pastor Lee, I don't know about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I don't have time to go there, and it's not my message right now. But 2 Corinthians 8, take some time to read what Paul says. He says, hey, you guys are doing great. Teaching and in faith and in this and that and the other. But you guys are not near. Paul is so bold. He said, but in this area of giving, dudes, you're coming behind. And you're losing out. Those people gave financially out of their lack, in their poverty, seeing the joy of what their giving was going to produce, gave their all for the sake of the gospel. Don't worry, this isn't about finances, and I'm not beating you over the head to get to your wallet. That's not even the topic. I'm going to show you a principle. Don't worry, we're not going there. Today, this morning is not about money, but I want you to see a spiritual principle. He said, out of their poverty. You know, you hear people all the time say, boy, when I get rich, I'm going to really give to the kingdom of God. No, you're not, because if you really believed in the kingdom of God, you'd be given now. When I win the lotto. I've heard that so many times. Scratching off. Remember the $1 million sweepstakes with McDonald's? I sat across from a guy from a Bible school graduate in his 50s telling me, you know, I'd sure like to be able to do something, but when I win this, I'm believing God. He's scratching off a stupid, scratchy thing. Remember that back in the 80s, 90s? How many know little is much when God is in it? Start where you're at. Doing all right? Paul says to these people, man, he's bold. He says, you know, but when it comes to Macedonia, you guys need to look at them. These people didn't wait around until they had something. They got involved because they wanted the gospel to reach the whole world. So he said, you know, you guys have such great graces. You have such a great grace of faith and such a great grace of teaching, such a great grace of this and that. But in this area of giving, you fall behind. So I'm going to leave somebody behind. His name is Titus. And he's going to teach you, stay with you, labor with you in the Word of God until you come ahead. This is your Bible. Don't look at me like that. This is, your Bible says this. So that you come ahead in this grace also. Isn't that amazing? And then he goes on down to say, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, he said, in this, I want you to know something, that Jesus hung on the cross, he was made poor. Now, this is in the context of giving and money. It says he was made poor so that you would be made rich. Why? So that we could abound. I never forget years ago, old time holiness churches, watching a man reach over and drop $5 in the bucket. I'm not kidding. And take change. Proverbs 11 says, he that withholds... Proverbs 11, I don't remember the verse. You can find it yourself. You ought to be reading your Bible anyway, right? Proverbs 11 says, he that withholds more than his meat tends to poverty. So I believe that Christians, and I say it all the time, and I hope we ought to be the best tippers in the world. There's a particular church in our town that is a large church. My daughter works at Olive Garden. In fact, she's working about 7 days a week trying to get ahead in her schooling. That's why you don't see little Amber that much, working two jobs. But she's got a dream and a call of ministry. She's here to catch up financially and get some things done. She said, but Daddy, it would blow your mind. Here is this church that is one of the most vocal in our area. They run in the hundreds. Not a one of them tips a dime. They leave tracts and comments. Here's what their tip is. You want a tip? You're going to hell. Burn or burn. Literally. Shibby, Shame on you. God bless them. I didn't say their name. Bless them. Paul said, whether of contention or strife, thanks be to God anyway the gospel's being preached. So don't you worry about them. My point is, he that, listen, you may be blessed on the outside, but you're very poor on the inside if you're always withholding more than is meat. That's why he not only is the author of your faith, but if you allow him, he'll be the finisher. You try to finish it yourself, you're going to wind up in a mess. You can start out as an evangelistic organization that's winning people all over Arizona, and people that I know today that are out of drugs and alcohol and in the ministry because of that same church. But today, quit worrying about them. Say, God, help me. Us. You hear? But we need to know how important it is that we are blessed to be a blessing. So those of you in here that are embarking on some things and putting some faith forward, listen, the devil is going to fight you, but he is a liar. You have the Word of God. I shared a scripture with somebody in here that's embarking on some things out of Isaiah, which says, he is the one that reveals pockets of wealth. He is the one. He is the one. Proverbs 10:21 says, the blessing. What blessing? Well, this blessing. So that the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentile follows. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 13. We're redeemed from the curse of the law, Christ having been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentile. Guess what you are? 90%+ of you anyway, as far as we know. Proverbs 10:20, look it up. I'm drawing a thing. 10:20, I should know this, but I'm drawing a blank. Happens to the best of us, doesn't it? 10:21 or 10:27. Find it quick so I give them the right scripture. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. 22, I was wrong both directions. You enjoyed that way too much, Cindy. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Say, he is my provision. He is my provider. I work hard with my hands, but my trust isn't there. He gives insight. He gives wisdom. He shows me where, how, and when. And leads me. Can you say amen? All right, so we got to move forward. I got plenty of time this morning, so I want to be sure and abuse it as much as I can. Okay. Is it okay if I just read through my notes? And you just take them as they come. Hang the ones you like and shelve the ones you don't. There we go. Many are trapped by what they've already done. It makes them question what they could do. Don't be so preoccupied with what you've done that you do not plan for what you could do. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. You say, well, man, this forgetting thing, it doesn't really have anything to do. I mean, what about young people? They've got no past. You want to know something? I led a young lady to the Lord that was 14 years old, stood and held the bags of her gang member comrade. Well, they pulled a pistol. Real people in my real ministry firsthand pulled a pistol and killed an opposing gang member, assassination style, right there in front of her. Think young people don't have things to forget? Sometimes we live in our little bubble and we have no idea what's going on all over the world. And that's probably nothing compared to what actually is going on in so many places. I'm so glad for the gospel, that empowers me. I don't know about you. I do know about you, but I don't know if you know about you. But I'm trying to help you know about you. I'm so glad, God, for the gospel. I can't even talk. I'm so glad for the gospel that helps me forget supernaturally. I didn't say have no memory. I mean remove the sting and the pain and the regret of the memory. No past. Some of you are still laughing at me talking in tongues. Well, you know, there you go. All right. There we go. All right. Every good thing, even the good things you do, could prevent you from accomplishing greater things if you put your confidence in the memory of those things. The past, I said this last week, so I'm going to pick up kind of where we left off. The past can be a very dangerous place to dwell. One of the greatest decisions that a person can make is to actually forget. He gave you supernaturally the capacity to forget. God gave you the ability to literally. I remember one time when we first started in this church, we were in one single little bay. Somebody got mad and, to my knowledge, never came back. They said, that is insane. Who could be so callous as to tell me, with all that I've been through, that I can just turn it off? They walked out. What they didn't know is that the Bible wonderfully and mercifully and lovingly tells us, by the Spirit of God, the past that you remember cannot rule your future. You can take a past of struggle and turn it into a testimony of victory. They overcame by the Word of God. Are you here today? By the blood, excuse me, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Same thing. Testimony of what? The Word works. Isn't that awesome? It is possible to not allow your memory to influence you. Don't allow your memory to immobilize your life. Is it too warm in here? We good? Okay. Here's one way to put it. You can cancel emotional debt. Your gut still grinding? You can cancel emotional debt and the psychological ties you have with the past. It is impossible for you to succeed until the future becomes more important than your past. That's why Jeremiah 29:11 thunders regularly through my heart and through my mind. I know the thoughts, Lee, that I have for you. Lee, are you listening? Thoughts of good and not of evil. There's a determined end. There is a specific place. I've got good things in store for you. James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning away. That's good news. How many love Jesus this morning? Three of you. How many love Jesus this morning? God forgets your past. He takes your sin, your past behavior. Everything that came upon you that you didn't even do through Adam. He's taken it all. It's complete. You want to know something? Jesus took care of the sin problem before man even sinned. Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world was John the Baptist's affirmation of the fact that before the foundation of the world, God already had allowed in the mind of God Jesus to be slain in our behalf. That's powerful stuff. So you could put it this way. Think about this. God planned for your past. You ever thought about that? Behold. Think about that. Stop and think about it. He planned for your past. The Lamb slain before the world was made. He planned for your past before your future so that your past would not interfere with your future. Some of you... The Bible says, before the foundation of the world, He was slain for our sin. So He planned for your past so that you would not be impeded in your believing Him. For Jeremiah 29:11, on a personal, individual basis. Shout it out loud. God still has. Boy, you guys need some help this morning. Shout it out. God still has a plan for me. That's why I press towards a high calling. What you have done is never more important than what you can do within the context of I can do. You remember that from last week? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Forget whatever it is that's stopping you from moving ahead. Paul had a lot of things to forget. His memories could have stopped him. Shipwrecked multiple times. I thought God said, imprisoned, beaten. Both his former life as a murderer and as a persecutor of those that were good, and his life after Christ, in which his life was literally laid down for the cause of the gospel in all the then known world. Amazing stuff. He could have allowed those memories to keep him moving forward. Life boils down, you might want to write this down, to choices. Aren't you glad he gave us free will to choose? But God's desire is that you choose life. That's all through the Word of God. Choose life. That's not a bumper sticker. That's a reality. Choose life. Every chance you get, look at what the Word of God says and what the devil in the world's dealing you, and choose God's Word. Choose life. Say with me, the Word of God still works. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting, I press forward. How many know there is going to be resistance? Some of you young men in here, and I consider myself young, so it's all of you. Some of you that are embarking on new marriages, on new businesses, on new whatever, there is going to be resistance. You're going to get the pushback. Proverbs, I believe it is. Help me out, somebody. 28, verse 1, says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I got one right, Cindy. Once you begin to move away from your past, listen to me, once you begin to move away from your past, you will realize that people and situations are not always in favor with your success. The minute you start doing something new in your life can be a time when everyone you thought your friend, boy, have I lived this out, turn against you. Well, how did you get there? Well, how did you get that? Does sniveling come to mind? Anyway, I need to get out of the flesh and get back where we're at. You have to apply some pressure to advance. You don't sit on your hands. Like I used to tell young people, want to be married. young guys that want to be married so bad, but they were so holy, they were no earthly good. So heavenly mind, they were earthly good. They wanted to sit in their house and just literally bring a wife to the door. I said, man, you got to get out there and look. Look in the right places. You're not going to find a good wife in a bar. I did, and we're saying, excuse me, you got saved, and the mercy of God is here, but that's not where you start. You're not going to find a good wife in a bar. You're going to find them in church, in Bible school, in gatherings of believers, people of like faith, people that, through, as according to the Word of God, you can be equally yoked with. Are you doing all right? You know, and I hear that kind of stuff all the time. Don't. You have to do something. You can't ask God to bless you while you're sitting at home praying. You got to apply some action to faith. I've noticed in my life, when we moved back from the mission field and everything was upside down and a brand new baby, I knew better than to just pull up under a tree somewhere and just start, you know, confessing the word and believing God. I knew because of how I was raised, and I knew because of some teaching that I'd gotten a hold of, that I better put my hands to do whatever I can find to do, and in that process believe God that He would lead me to greater things. As a man in my late 20s, I've raked leaves and split wood and picked up trash, returned from the mission field with a place of prominence and recognition and people by the thousands that knew us and loved us. Our ministry, raking leaves, splitting wood, picking up trash, and being treated like a dog. But I knew that this faith thing works by getting busy and doing. He says that He will prosper our hands. He doesn't bless laziness. So I'd get busy, and I'd find out that this job that I didn't like put me in contact with somebody who said, hey, have you heard? And I got to that job that I still didn't like that put me in contact with somebody who said, hey, I've been around you long enough now. I know what would fit you. Did you hear? And by the fourth step, I'd go, I don't know how in the world I got here, but whoo, this is cool. We call the American dream, I want what I want, and I want it now. We've gotten lost. The American dream is you have the free choice, the free will to work hard and expect that hard work in a free society will produce something. Now, it's gotten kind of muddled by government, but it's still better than anywhere else in the world right now. I can attest to it. Pray for your nation. Pray for your leaders. Amen. You still love America? I hope so. Okay. People that don't ought to live where I've lived for about a month growing up, and then you'd love it. Don't wait for things to break for you. Some of you are taking those steps. Don't wait. Get moving. You have to break them. Don't wait for opportunity to find you. Create it. Speak the word of God. Move forward. Man, I remember Brother Hagin saying years ago, he said people are sitting around waiting for God to lead them and direct them. He says, turn the car on and get it moving, even if it's in the wrong direction. If you got it moving, He can get you turned around. But if you're just sitting, you'll never go anywhere. Religion has taught us you got one chance to get it right, and if not, God's going to quit on you. I'm so glad He gives opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. He is faithful and true. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. You were born to do something, not just to go somewhere. A lot of Christians are bored because they're just sitting around waiting to go to heaven. Oh, man, there's a lot more to being a Christian than just waiting to go to heaven. You know that most of this word we have in the epistles is about our victory in this life. That one's covered. This is just a short little practice for the real deal. So all this is for us now. References to heaven are to help us keep our faith and our hope alive, pressing forward, knowing this isn't all there is to it. But in the meantime, we have, as I referenced, great and exceeding precious promises that in Him are yes and amen. Can you say? Paul had to forget some things. Rahab had to forget some things. Moses, another murderer. I mean, this guy was such a bad killer, they didn't even bury the dude right. His feet must have been sticking out. You read your Bible lately? He wasn't even adept at that. This guy was pretty much a failure. And God says, you're the one to lead him. Really? Moses struggled with that. A stutterer. Struggled with self-confidence. Pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? Moses wondered why God chose him for that mission. And many of us feel the same way. Been through a divorce. I mentioned it last night. Been through an abortion. Those are tough things to even mention in a church. But let me tell you something. I still am declaring to you the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, which states your past cannot define who you are or where you are going. He loves you. He redeems. He forgives. He sets your feet aright. He gives you a whole new future. Every sin. I'm so glad that in the kingdom of God, there are not levels of sins, misdemeanors and felonies and so on. Sin is sin is sin, and Jesus paid it all. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. All things have become new. This is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and how the world needs to hear it. How are we supposed to deal with our past? How do we let our past go forever? Turn with me this morning to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 4. The key, while you're getting there, Isaiah 54, verse 4, the key to letting go of your past is embracing your future in Christ by faith. You get busy believing that what He has said is true, you'll be so busy making new memories, the old ones can't hold you down. That sounds simplistic to you? Then the gospel must be simplistic to you. And there is nothing simplistic about the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that doeth. No, oh, excuse me, I got confused. Believeth. Isaiah 54, verse 4 starts out like this. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou. Some of you in here need to listen to this and dare to believe God and let it go once and for all. How I wished right now as a pastor I had a few of those straining faces from last week to hear the hope of the gospel. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded. Confused, harried, tormented. For thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Quiet in here because the Holy Spirit, I believe, is lovingly laying some of this in, maybe for a few of you in here for the first time. Turn it loose. The old account. Remember that song we used to sing? The old account was settled long ago. Thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Fear not. Most people live in fear that they will repeat. Now listen right here. Some of you business heads in here and that are believing God, I want you to listen close. Most people live in fear that they will repeat their failures. There are businessmen who have failed at certain projects and attempts and refuse to try again. God wants to say to you, fear not! Now listen close, because you might want to write these down. This is something, I was reading this to Jackie this morning. I said, honey, these are things that are heavy on my heart, and I want to lay them out. I want to make sure I'm laying them out clear. Your past failure does not guarantee that you will be a failure. I said, your past failure does not guarantee that you will be a failure. There will be failures along the way. But if you trust God with your past, they cannot define you as someone who is a failure. Failure, as a matter of fact, is part of success. We put God in a box. We're going to try this. We've learned about this faith stuff. We've learned about speaking to mountains and confession. And we've learned that we have all the kingdom of God on the inside of us. And we tried it and it didn't work. How many know you can't try to ride a bicycle? You either ride it or not. It's a lifestyle. How many know God's word does work? Every successful person in life has failed at something. Most of you have probably heard this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. Let us not become weary. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we don't faint. Now, look this way. This will bless you. Most of you probably have heard this, but the details being brought to our remembrance are thrilling. Had Thomas Edison not been a man of faith, perseverance, and determination, he may still be working by gaslight. We may still be working by gaslight, or at least it may have been many years before the first electric light was seen. Does that sound like we're speaking in hyperboles? You decide. Listen close. It has been reported that Edison failed over 6,000 times before perfecting the first electric light bulb. On one occasion, a young journalist, nothing's changed, a young journalist, are we here today? A young journalist says, challenged Edison, saying to him, Mr. Edison, why do you keep trying to make a light by using electricity when you have failed so many times? Don't you know that gas lights are with us to stay? To this, Edison replied, young man, don't you realize that I have not failed, but I have successfully discovered 6,000 ways that won't work? Because Edison believed an electric light was possible, he refused to give up. He tried countless types of material in his search for a filament that would work. He sent men to China, Japan, South America, Asia, Jamaica, Burma, on and on, to each for fibers to test in his laboratory, all to no avail. On October 21st, 1879, after 13 months of repeated failures, Edison finally succeeded in finding a filament that would work. While experimenting, the thought came to him, The thought came to him, because God is all about light. No pun intended. Why not try a carbonized cotton fiber? You know, I've been back in the middle of nowhere. This is in my lifetime. Honduras. Kids running around with nothing but a little bit of nothing around their middle. People as ignorant as the day is long. Me drinking something out of a dirty, filthy avocado shell cup that was just like slime, same color and same consistency. I wanted to barf my guts out. We ate, I can't remember the name of it in English, but we ate a large rodent for supper along with roots. And when you went and fired up a generator, kids ran covering their ears, laughing and some of them crying at the sound of a generator. And you should have seen when you flipped the lights on. I don't know if that's true anymore. That's been 30 years ago. I don't know if that's true in the world anymore. I don't know. That was in Central America, people. Not in the 1040. Light. Edison finally succeeding in finding a filament that would work. While experimenting, the thought came to him, why not try a carbonized cotton fiber? After going through two spools of cotton, he eventually perfected a strand not only to break it while trying to place it in a glass tube. He refused to give up and persevered with this idea for two more days and nights without sleep. Finally, he succeeded in placing a carbonized thread into a vacuum-sealed bulb. Eureka, it worked. Let an awesome account of a discovery that we enjoy today encourage you in your journey in Christ. Feel like a failure? Reject those emotions. Your emotions are what you walk by. Open your mouth and declare the word of God over yourself. Ephesians 54 says that we'll be grounded in righteousness and the result will be oppression will be far from us. You want to know the answer? For a lot of, I got soldiers in here, young men that I love, many of you in here that have served. You want to know the answer for PTSD? The gospel. The gospel. We dare to trust Him. Being a failure, let me back up. Failure is a part of success, but being a failure is a lie of the devil. By faith, you can see failure as an opportunity to begin again. Most people never really progress until they're under pressure. How many know that 99% of changes happen because people were pressed? How many can think back in your own life, pressed? God didn't send tough times your way to teach you to do something else. We live in a fallen world and tough times will visit us. But in the press, the word of God on our lips and in our heart is what causes us to rise strong because of the press. Big difference. God is not the author of my pain. He's the author of the word, which is my deliverer. He sent his word, the prophet said, and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. That's the Bible. Stand a little more. I got about 3 minutes. Faith is actually the test of your resolve. People who quit after their first failure never really wanted to succeed anyway. Sounded good. Paul says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There's one to write down on the flap of your Bible. Never confuse your experience with your worth. Are you here this morning? Never confuse your experience. Don't let what you've been through define who you are. Today is a new day in Jesus. Amen. Stop keeping alive what is dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she, is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Paul put it this way, all that was crucified. And there's a brand new life in Jesus. Don't resurrect the old. Let it go. Send it away in Jesus' name. Forgetting is an act of the will. Memories don't go away. You send them away. Remember, it's how you got born again. You made a profession in response to the loving voice of the Holy Spirit. You made a profession of faith in the humanly impossible that a man who lived 2,000 years ago died, was dead for 3 days, raised from the dead, and you believed it to your toes, and your life has never been the same since that day. You opened your mouth, you made a confession of heart belief, and your life was changed. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? Let me hear you shout. Aren't you glad for Him? Yes. Hallelujah. Who delivered us from our destruction. Your past is conquered when you can use it as a testimony. I didn't say go and glorify the devil with all the seedy details, but your past is conquered when you can refer to it with a smile and with confidence. That's who I was, but this is who I am. Let me tell you who He is in me now. When you can use your past as a testimony, you've conquered it. Until you can take what happened to you and use it as an illustration, you're not free from it. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You think you're the only one that went through that? Man, there's somebody that needs to hear a voice light with the freedom of forgiveness, confidence, in a God who loves eternally that says, I was there, but I'm here, and so can you. Woo! I'm not ashamed, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto complete deliverance. That's what so-so means. Spirit, soul, and body, every level of your life, saved and delivered. We're going to be talking next time about what it means to have a sound mind. Paul told Timothy, God has not given us, in this same context of the love of God for us, we haven't left anything, in the same context that because of His love, we can forget what is behind. In this same context, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. Love and a sound mind. We're going to talk about what a sound mind is in reference to forgetting. Woo, good stuff. The Word of God is always good. I got to quit right here. People who deny their past. We got a bunch of politicians that need Jesus. Even a few that say they know Jesus. Who deny their past. Our current president Do I like a lot of what I see? And I have some confidence about some things. But I'm also troubled by any man who denies their past. He, they, all of them, either side of the aisle, need Jesus. And anybody who denies their past is imprisoned by it. I'm glad for Jesus today. Don't worry, I wasn't pounding or hitting on anybody. That wasn't waxing. You've already thought about it. Just relax. There's nothing there. I didn't endorse or unendorse nothing. It's a reality. The one who denies their past is going to be imprisoned by it. We're watching good men go down because they were in denial. If there would have been an open confession and an open expression of deliverance, integrity, the Bible says, will keep you and direct your feet. Boy, how we need that back. This is the last verse, and then we'll pick up here next week. Isaiah 43. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. 43:25. I want you to hear this now. This is your God. Can you stand this morning with me? Oh, man, can you extend your hands heavenward this morning? Listen to what the Spirit of God says to you, each and every one of you, from the youngest to the oldest this morning. Listen to what He says to you this morning. Listen, you got to dare to believe it. Rahab did. You think you're messed up? Rahab did. A thief did. His confession of faith was pretty simple. Wow, you're Him. That's what he was saying. Remember me. He's saying, you're Him. You're the guy. In one foul swoop, his heart belief, you're Him. Remember me. He knew he was talking to somebody who was not of this world. And that fast, Jesus said, well, I know there's not a lot of time, but you have anything in your pocket, you need to tithe. And you need to persevere, because as you're hanging there and they're doing other things to you, if you curse, on your own, buddy. This day, you will be with me in paradise. Listen, let's lift our hands one more time all over the room. Can we do that? Let the Spirit of God minister to you today. I'm going to dismiss you here in a few minutes. I'm not going to give an altar call of any kind. The altar is open. I'm here with others. We would love to stay and visit with you and pray with you on any level. It's wide open. Nothing is over. I'm just going to give you the opportunity to be dismissed here in just a couple of minutes. Have a blessed and wonderful week. Remember these things. Exercise believing God, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, in this coming week. And get ready for what a sound mind is, because you already have it in Jesus. Do you know how to exercise it? Here's the verse as we go. Lift your hands high. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. Oh, come on, let's kick them a little higher, shall we, today? Jesus, how we love you. We receive this morning great love. We receive great forgiveness. We receive a great new future. We receive a rest from the regret of the past. Once again, as last week, I rest with the freedom of God today. I rest in Jesus' name. I break the hold of regret and of pain and of memory in Jesus' name. I defy you. I tear you off in Jesus' name. In the spirit realm, can you see bands being released on people's minds and hearts as they dare to reach out and say, yes, God, I believe you just like Rahab. Come on, are you here today? I believe you just like Rahab. Some of you in here that are in business and moving forward in that business, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the supernatural provision of God, for divine secrets. I thank you for the supernatural provision of God for spirit-led investments. I thank you today in Jesus' name for the supernatural provision of God in divine appointments and divine relationships. We thank you today in Jesus' name that you lead us. To prosper in all we do, for your word promises it. And everybody said, can you receive that today? Come on, lift your eyes heavenward, say, I receive it. I am not a failure. I may experience some setbacks. They don't define me from this day forward. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Amen and amen. Well, are you blessed? You got a good word you can take with you through the week? Take it, work on it, invite somebody, let's fill the house up, and let God be God. Can you say amen? The past is gone, the future is bright in Jesus. Go and live like it this week. Let it come out of your mouth. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week. Let's worship together. Altars are open. We're here to pray for anybody who needs and wants prayer this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. Thank you.